Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 375, recorded August 13th, 2014. Use your selfie stick. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Shutterstock.com, with over 40 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off any image file on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code Windows814. And by Citrix ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with one click. Try ZipRecruiter now with a free 4-day trial at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers Microsoft and all its various multifarious incarnations on the net. Joining us, as always, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. It's great to have you, Mary Jo. Paul Thurrott told us last week that he was going to be jaunting around Spain, So we brought in a ringer.
We did.
Yeah. Glad to have
you. Found me on the streets.
Yeah. No, glad to have Daniel Rubino back from Windows Phone Central, WPCentral.com. Nice to see you again, Daniel.
Pleasure. It's always fun to be with you guys.
Welcome.
On this lovely day here. Thank you.
Hey, where are you located?
I'm now in Marlboro, Massachusetts. I'm about 20 minutes from where Paul normally resides.
That's funny. So, hey, he's not home. You could go ransack his house if you...
Yeah, exactly.
He's got like 500 Xbox 360s. I'm sure he wouldn't
even
notice.
Laying around.
He does. He does. He has a ton of them. We are going to... It looks like we have a light show today, so if you're in the chat room, we'll have a chance for you to ask questions. Don't ask them now, because I'm not going to be writing stuff down, but we'll let you know. But before we do anything else, let's talk about Windows Phone. Actually, we were talking at the beginning of the show about my 1520, which has not yet updated to a Cyan, but that's because I followed Paul's instructions, and I joined the developer preview. We thought at the time that if you were in the developer preview, you'd get treated like everyone else when the update came out.
Yeah, there's sometimes unforeseen
yeah.
bugs that happen.
So am I going to get Cyan? I mean, this is an unlocked, this is not carrier locked. It's a...
Right.
So it's not like T-Mobile, which I'm using as a carrier, is getting in the way, or are they?
No, there it's nothing to do with T-Mobile. This is just the bug with the BitLocker issue. So what I presume is going to happen is Microsoft will fix this, and how that fix will happen is they're going to do another update for preview, because there's usually about two or three, or even four. I mean, we've had four for the last four, 8.1, and they'll do another update for this probably in a week or two,
And
then you'll get that update. And then what I assume is going to happen, you're going to get that update, the phone will reboot, and then it automatically checks again for if there's anything else there, because sometimes there's multiple ones. And if your phone is qualified for Lumia Cyan at that point, it will then ping the server and find it and download it, and then you'll get Lumia Cyan.
I did get the system update last week.
Right.
But this, you say there's going to be another. What is the BitLocker problem? I don't know. Have we talked about that, Mary Jo? I don't remember if we talked about that.
Yeah, I think we were trying to figure out why people who were on the dev preview couldn't get it. And it was kind of some conflicting information if it was about BitLocker. And Microsoft's been a little, they haven't really laid all this out clearly, I don't feel like. But you guys on WP Central have been all over this and providing regular updates, which has been great. So I think they're advising people now, if you really need to get Cyan right away, undo the dev preview, and then you can get it possibly if your carrier is ready to send it on to you.
Should I really
care? I'm on Verizon. I know. I'm on Verizon. I don't have it yet. actually am not running the dev preview on my main phone, so I would know if it were here. And, you know, there are things I want in Cyan and all, but I'm willing to wait.
Next to Lumia Black, it says, you know, it has a little info button. I click the info button and it says, get ready for the smartest personal phone yet. Get Windows Phone 8.1 now. This is on Nokia's site. And then that does say I can get the Cyan update. But is this that process that I have to do?
Roll it back.
I have to roll it back. Okay.
Which is actually, it's a really easy process.
Maybe I should do that.
The only thing is it's a little time consuming. That you have to actually do much. It's just that because what you can do is you can back up the phone right now and it'll save it to the cloud basically. Then you're going to roll back the OS. You plug it in, let it roll the OS backwards. And then you go and check for an update and then you'll see Lumia Cyan and all that and it pulls that down. And then you can hard reset the phone. And it's going to be like, oh, brand new, welcome to Windows. And as you log into your account, it'll ask you, do you want to restore from a backup? And it'll actually pull down that backup. You can hit yes or no. And then you'll restore. And then and that could take some time, depending on how much stuff you have and if you used a micro SD card. But that's basically it. And then you can actually go back to update one and we'll go back to the preview program and do that if you wanted to. Okay. So and then you'll have everything signed. So I did that in my 1520, one of them, and it worked perfectly, but it's you know, you'll lose any game saves. That's basically about it.
Okay, so unless you want to get those game saves, because we don't know how long it's going to take for Microsoft to fix this BitLocker issue. They haven't said anything.
No, but I'm not expecting it to be too long. Okay. I think what they're waiting for, I don't think they want to, they didn't want to hold up update one preview for developers for BitLocker, which is what they could have done. So I think they want to push that out right away. And now they're going to, like, you know, work on that and get it out there.
We reviewed on Before You Buy yesterday, the Lumia 635, I think it was, the 99. Mm-hmm. And I was actually impressed. Of course, it's not as big as this. And it doesn't have a great camera like this does, but for $99, it's got a nice screen. It's very fluid. There it is. It's very fluid. Yeah. You guys like it?
Yeah. No, it's a great phone. You know, it doesn't replace the 520, but it kind of does in the sense that, like, T-Mobile and AT&T have basically used it to replace that device. And it definitely improves upon the 520 because it has a clear black display. Like, the display on it is actually really
display.
Nice.
Gorgeous display. I was really surprised because usually that's what you give up on a cheap phone.
Right, yeah.
It's 720p probably, but at that size it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the resolution is not impressive, but then again, like you said, at that size, so
it felt good, felt fluid, it felt, and it did feel like, you know, those dark black. So it's an OLED display.
Yeah, and they use their polarizer, their dual layer polarizer technology, which filters out the light, and so it gives you like stronger colors, and it also works better outside.
Boy, you know, Nokia makes great hardware. Microsoft Nokia makes great hardware.
Yeah.
I just have to. It's always, every time I hold it, I feel like this is really nice, and for such a big screen, it's not. This is the 1520 now I'm talking about, but it's not a bad.
The green.
Oh, you have the green one. Oh,
it's totally ridiculous. It's not really green. Nice. Mary Jo, you're a woman. What color is that? See, guys go. That's like, green. That ain't green. That's seafoam.
Seafoam. Oh, you're going to get into the bittersweet shimmer thing.
Don't you think that's more like a seafoam?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's hard to tell over Skype. I mean, is it bright green or is it more kind of a muted green?
No, it's fluorescent.
Let's
green.
See. Hold it up again. Hold it up again.
Yeah, it's hard.
It could be teal. It could be. It could be mint. Somebody's saying.
When I saw the picture on the.
Mint's
when
the
I
actual
saw the picture
name.
On the website, it looked like fluorescent green. It looked like bright.
It doesn't
almost
look like,
doesn't
look that bright. No.
No, it is. When I pulled it out of the box, especially in like daylight,
you went ouch.
I mean, it's like it's intense. I mean, I grew up in the '80s, and I remember fluorescent green being everywhere, and so it's sort of funny to have it back on my phone. But it's it's pretty impressive.
So, looking on, you're right. If you look on the website, which is probably not,
yeah. It's really
look
great.
How green it is compared to the others. Yeah. Yeah, but that does not what it looks like on Skype. So I guess that's a Skype issue, maybe. Mm.
Yeah, probably.
So now they have green, red, white, yellow, and black.
Surprisingly not orange. They didn't make orange for the 1520. I'm not sure why.
Huh. Well, maybe they
still... But they still win. Nokia's argument is that green and orange are the new colors for this year. So which is why they're not using cyan and yellow as much. So I don't know.
Funny.
They do research.
Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, Mary Jo and I are old enough to remember avocado refrigerators, burnt orange refrigerators. That was the 70s. Very, very popular. And now they look 70s. They really look dated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose it only makes sense that phones should kind of start to have that, you know, fashion, you know, this year's colors kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Why not? Why not? Yeah. What else is new? Are we going to have we seen all the great new Windows phones we're going to see this year?
No. And Mary Jo knows some of this too. There's well, there's two things. HTC is expected to launch the HTC One next week.
By the way, I use an M8. Love that hardware. That should be a beautiful choice for Windows Phone. Beautiful.
I am so excited to see this phone because I love the
Verizon
8X.
And, well, if you like the 8X, you will love this phone, Mary Jo.
Yeah, they're going to launch it in New York next week, we think. I mean, they haven't plainly said that, but it's pretty apparent this
pretty
is coming
obvious.
Next week.
Yeah. I think you'll really like it. I have an M8 running Android, and it is easily the nicest Android phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
The front speakers. It's just
the boom sound.
Yeah, why doesn't everybody do that? Well, I know why, because it makes the phone long. It adds to the size.
Yeah, and from all the reports we have, it's going to be the exact same device as the Android. There's no compromise.
Interesting. Yeah. How hard was that, do you think, to port Windows Phone onto it? Is it just like they're going to use the Super Pixel 4-megapixel camera and all of that? And
Yes. Yeah, it's got everything. There's not going to be any differences really between the
SD
the Android.
Right.
It's got an SD card. Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be a real fascinating case because for the first time, at least for Verizon, customers can go into the store and basically see the exact same phone, one running Android, one running Windows Phone 8.1. And there won't be any differences between the hardware. You can't say, well, this one can do this. They're going to do the exact same things. And now the customer has a true choice. Now, that's good and bad because I think Windows Phone people have been saying that for a long time, like, you know, the OS stands on its own. If you remove the hardware stuff from the equation, it shouldn't matter. But, you know, we got to be careful what you ask for. Because I'm not necessarily convinced that just because this is like that, it's going to be like all of a sudden sell gangbusters.
Well,
right?
First you got to get Verizon employees to actually even mention that there's a Windows Phone version.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
And not disparage it, right? When I went in to buy my Icon, they're like, hey, you're like one of two people who's ever bought a Windows Phone in this Verizon store.
What's wrong with you?
So that is going to be a super interesting test case when you say, here's the identical phone, and here's
That's
one with
bad.
Windows Phone, and here's one with Android. Let's see.
Yep.
I have to say, if you put them side by side, the Windows Phone does feel more elegant. I'm an Android guy. I mean, I use Android day in, day out. One thing, though, that maybe Microsoft should... I don't know. What do you think, Daniel? People have told me that this 1520 feels sluggish. It's not. It's a very fast phone. But this, when you slide right or you know, to launch it, it redraws the screen. That's, of course, an aesthetic decision, not a speed decision. Mm-hmm. But it makes it feel like it's maybe a little slow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would say two things to that. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with it, but I will say with the Lumia Cyan update, what makes Cyan important in this case is it's basically firmware for the phone.
Right.
And so it tweaks things like the display and the memory and stuff for the telephone. And it does make it a little bit faster, you know, to use.
Okay.
So you do get some optimizations there. So when you're using a developer preview without the proper firmware, it's a little hard to make that solid judgment. But the animation stuff is always a little controversial. iOS 7 has this, you know, complaint too that it does like some
unnecessary. I turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something I think that they can always work on and tweak. But it's also relative. When you use like a Lumia 520 or, you know, say the new 635, it's, you know, it's slower than like a quad core 1520. But if you use it every day by itself, you're totally fine with it. It's only when you pick up another phone and compare it directly do you notice it, which is why these devices actually sell well and people actually are really happy with them. When we're, you know, reviewing phones, you don't get that. And so you can be like, oh my God, it feels slow and sluggish. But once you start using it every day, it's relative and it won't necessarily feel like that.
Well, now you've convinced me I should put Cyan on here. I'm showing it at a disadvantage. I'm going to do it. So do you have an article on Windows Phone Central about doing this?
Yeah. We have the tutorial, and I also did an article specifically on the 1520 and what Cyan does for it and listed all the changes, because there's actually quite a few, including now it can record in Dolby Digital 5.1 for video.
That's big.
Which is actually really cool.
That's really big, yeah. Not that I have a surround sound microphone, but
there's a tool that Leo should use to turn it back, though, right? I forget what it's called.
Do I have to use that Windows tool, or can I do it all on the phone?
No, you have to use the tool. Because what's going to do, it downloads the actual OS from Nokia's site, and then it installs it. It's actually between like 1 and 3 gigs, I believe. And then it'll install it to the phone, yeah. Okay. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to download, and then it does the process. But it's all automated.
Well, I'll have to do it at home. My Windows computers are at home, not here. So.
Yeah.
I can't do it today. Dang it. I know there's a lot of changes in Cyan, but that just making those animations speed up would be... There's no way to turn those off. Is that inaccessibility? Can I turn that off?
No, not yet.
Somebody in the chat room said that there is a reason why they slow it down a little bit. They are loading stuff, so there is... stuff going. I mean, it can't be just arbitrarily fast.
Right. I mean, that's always the argument for animations, is that the animations themselves are not slowing down the operating system. It's there to sort of cover up what the operating system's doing in the background.
Okay.
So, you know, some people talked about this with apps, where when you launch an app for the first time, you get the loading screen or the logo screen. And, you know, and people say, well, if you just took it off, it would load faster. But that's not necessarily the case.
Something.
That's actually, right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm very, all right. Yeah. All right. I guess I'm going to go home. I know what my homework is for tonight.
You needed a project tonight, didn't you?
You don't have to sit and watch it. It'll do it, you know.
It's like baking
bread. You got to let it rise. You can go do something else. And, yeah.
Right.
Making beer a month later, it's done. All of that.
A watched pot does not boil.
A watch system update does not complete.
It's true.
It's a new saying for the 21st century. So we're looking for next week in New York City the launch of what we are pretty sure will be the HTC One running Windows phone. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
IFA's coming up early September, and we'll see the selfie phone. What is that?
Mary Jo, you want to talk about that one?
Yeah. I mean, this is, again, something we think is going to happen based on an invitation that Microsoft sent out. It said, join us for more, quote, FaceTime in Berlin, Germany. I'm frozen again.
I know. And you're frozen in a kind of a funny face, too, which is appropriate for FaceTime. All right. Okay. There we go. We restart our video.
Yeah. We're having a little Skype.
This keeps happening.
I know. Alex said he's going to work with me on it and fix it.
Yeah.
We think it's the Lumia 730 that's going to launch at IFA. And I don't know if that would be considered a, quote, high-end phone or a mid-range phone or what, but supposedly a 5-megapixel camera that's front-facing based on what rumors have had.
5-megapixel front. Is that the highest resolution front-facing camera made?
I believe so right now. Although, I mean, a device like the One M8 also has a 5-megapixel front-facing camera. The difference here, though, of course, is the One M8 is a flagship phone. And this is supposed to be a mid...
Interesting.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. Mayor Joe's right on that, where it's like, is it a high-end, low, like an upper-range, high, low phone or low-end, mid-range? I don't know. But... The difference here would be the pricing. You're going to get a 5-megapixel front-facing camera on a relatively cheap phone, probably around $230 off contract. And the idea, of course, is that this is more geared for younger people who, you know, want a selfie phone that's also not, you know, super expensive. And it's good for emerging markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So poor people take more selfies. I think that's a fact. I'm just kidding.
No comments.
Why? Just because you don't have the money to buy a flagship phone, you shouldn't be disadvantaged in terms of selfies.
Right.
More selfies.
More selfies for everyone.
And the new thing apparently with selfies, it's not enough just to sit there and take it, you know, with you in front of you like this. Now they got those, and this is big in Asia apparently, where you have the stick. And it holds the phone.
I saw that. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a robot arm. And
yeah.
it like holds
yeah.
the phone out.
We've used yeah. that. And you see this. Yeah. It's yeah. It's just a little. It's a monopod, but it, not designed to put on the ground, but to be held.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
you could take a selfie. Let's not do that, kids.
Yeah. I'm expecting it here in the U.S. Apparently, it's starting to just come over now. So.
I've done that for a long time, and I've seen people do that. But you're saying that everybody does it in Asia now? This is like...
Well, yeah. It's becoming like more common to see out in public, basically.
You I have one.
So you're a trendsetter.
A trendsetter. A company that we got it. I got it 2 years ago or a year and a half ago at CES. It's the same company that makes these very lightweight monopods for the poor guys on film crews who have to hold the microphone up out of the camera range. The same company makes, they said, well, we could take these carbon fiber poles and turn them into selfie poles. So I have one, and it's got a little, the problem is you have to get a way to get it, you have to have a special case or something so that you can put it on the end of a, that's neat. I mean, it's not neat. It's not something anybody should do. It does give you a good result, though, except like any selfie, you always have one hand out of the picture.
Yeah.
Right.
You look like kind of a weird person.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other. I mean, I don't even do selfies now, like just holding my phone. I always think it's a little strange, but to carry a stick around and do it. But I find it fascinating just from a sociological trend thing, you know, that this is becoming the norm. So
I've always felt like it's very self-involved and, you know, it's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. But it really, if you look at Instagram, the most liked pictures on Instagram are almost always selfies. People want to see, well, if you're a beautiful, you know, person, they want to see you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It helps if you're good looking.
I try not to do too many selfies. I keep the selfies down to a minimum. The M5, is that what it is? No, Microsoft keeps its MS, keeps its feature phones alive. This is the new low end, and it's not Asha, which is gone, right? It's not, Lumia X, which is gone. Yeah. It's a Windows phone for how much?
$25.
Whoa! It's mostly a feature phone though. There's no data, right?
Right. Just a feature phone.
So what could you
do?
But
it does raise. I was going to say it raises interesting questions.
Yeah, it does. We had thought Microsoft was getting out of feature phones unless they were running Windows Phone, right? That was kind of what everybody had assumed after we saw the Satya Nadella memos and the Stephen Elop memos. But if you really go back and dissect what was said, I think they said we're getting out of the S40 and S60 maybe, but not necessarily anything else. So this isn't running Windows Phone. But it's a low-end phone. I thought it was interesting. They said exactly what they said about the Nokia X when they were talking about this, which is it's an on-ramp to Windows Phone. And so they're using that idea again that if you're going to get people early in developing countries, you want them to at least have a phone where they are familiar with some of the Microsoft apps or services.
And this was the advantage of the X phone, get you into the Microsoft ecosystem.
Yep.
Get you to use at least, because you can use one, or no, I guess you can't use OneDrive because there's no data. So you get a Microsoft account. No, because what are you logging into? What services does it get you into?
Yeah, what do you get on this phone?
I don't know yet.
I don't know yet either.
Yeah. I guess it's one of those things where long-term we could see what Microsoft does with it. Because this is an ongoing question about, you know, Windows everywhere, right? Even the Internet of Things, they're putting Windows into little, you know, chips, you know, all sorts of stuff. So the day may come where they can actually fit some sort of operating system onto, you know, what's called a feature phone and give you some of those services. That might not be here right now, but I'm sure this product had already been in the pipeline for a while and they want to just release it. But we may see this as, you know, evolve into a more Microsoft Windows thing in the future, but just not right now.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know very much about it yet. It seems like there's going to be chat, obviously, and FM radios on it. There's
Wait a minute, dual SIM. Chat via SMS?
I think.
Because there's, again, no data.
Yeah, not that way. So, but it, I'm looking at the screen, and it looks like there's a chat icon on the screen.
Yeah.
Of some sort. Yeah, it's kind of a mystery at this point. They just said, hey, we've got this thing coming. It's the Nokia 130. And they advertise it as something for the developing world primarily, although not exclusively either. They said if for some people here, it might be a backup phone for them.
I think that in a way you could read the tea leaves and say this is Microsoft acknowledging that it is having a hard time getting a foothold as a flagship phone, the high-end phone arena. And of course, what's the big growth market? I mean, in the you know, it's going to be low-end phones, feature phones, especially aspirational feature phones. So if you can make a $25 phone that kind of looks like it's a Windows phone, a smartphone, they're going to be there's a market for that. And I think it's more the it's not really locking anybody into Microsoft, but it's the psychology of getting them to take the first step towards a smartphone, right?
I agree. They don't want to leave that to Google and Apple, right? They want to.
Well, Apple's already basic. I think it's very clear Apple has decided not it doesn't care
not to
doesn't want to do
like
that.
Like poor people.
Yeah, we don't care about poor people. And I think that Android is doing quite well, but it's not really benefiting Google because it's generally. It doesn't include Google services, right? It's just the AOSP, you know, fundamental Android stuff. But that's a good, but it's free. So it's a good OS. Does Microsoft give away? Well, I guess it's all made by Microsoft. Is there anybody else making low-end Windows phones besides Microsoft?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there are.
Huawei.
Well, that's right. Yeah. We talked about that. There's all these weird.
And then, Carbon. Yeah, there's all the new ones, India and China.
Do they as they do with Windows itself, do they give that away to a low-end?
Yeah, I believe so, right, Mary Jo?
Yeah. Yeah, the OS is free for everybody on 9-inch or under devices now.
Even Windows Phone OS?
Yep, even phone.
See, that's smart, I think.
It's
like my first Sony. Remember that? My first Windows phone, my first smartphone. Why not get them to use Microsoft phones?
Yeah. And this phone, my understanding is it comes in below the other OEMs phones that we're talking about, like Huawei. This is a segment of the market that's not addressed by those OEMs right now.
Yeah, I think this makes sense from a marketing strategy. Yeah.
All this stuff
it caught everybody by surprise, right? Like everybody was really surprised when they announced that this week.
They were probably just like, well, it's almost done. Let's just get it out.
What's the timeline? They had killed Asha immediately, right? That was the Nokia feature phone. And Symbian, they killed him immediately? Or when were those ended?
No, that was when they announced all the layoffs.
Okay. So it was a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yep.
And then X at the same time was the Android Windows phone was dead.
Yep.
So that makes sense. The timeline makes sense.
This is their strategy. I mean, they are trying to push down technology. So, you know, getting back to IFA real quickly, although I expect at 7:30 that if you look at the actual invitation that they sent out or the announcement, the O in there actually looks like a camera for what's assumed to be the Lumia 830, which is another phone. Yeah, and so my guess is, you know, Nokia, Nokia and now Microsoft, traditionally, when they do these announcements, always do two phones. So they did the 1520 and the 1320, the 920 and the 820, the 720 and the 520. All those were co-announced. So my guess is they'll do the 730 and 830 as well. Mm-hmm. And so the 830 was supposedly described as a affordable high-end phone. And the rumors of it having a 20-megapixel PureView camera. I'm not really sure on the megapixel aspect, but it will be a PureView, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's 20. But that makes it interesting because the Lumia 820, the device it's replacing, doesn't have PureView. It has a Carl Zeiss lens on there. But PureView was always Nokia's high-end premium feature for 920s and the 9X series and higher. And so now they're pushing supposedly PureView down into the 800 series. And as the technology becomes more affordable, they're going to keep doing that with, you know, what they can. And so this idea, of course, is to trickle down all that technology to, you know, the most affordable phones so you can, you know, compete with companies like with, you know, Android specifically.
It's so nice to have Daniel Rubino on because you got all this stuff. I guess Paul does too. He certainly focuses a lot on this phone. But
yeah, I mean, we all have our unfortunately or unfortunately, I just do phones. Although we're doing more and more stuff as Microsoft blends everything together.
Daniel Rubino.
We're waiting for Hadoop Central. I'm waiting for that one.
Not going to happen.
Never say never, guys.
You know, there's a lot of big data stuff out there. A lot of it. I don't think you could feel too left behind.
Sure.
You know. Horton, here's a Hadoop. We're going to take a break. Daniel Rubino is here from WPCentral.com. Of course, Mary Jo Foley, as always. Paul Thurrott is touring around Spain on vacation. He'll be back next week. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Shutterstock.com. Best place to go for royalty-free, high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, even video clips. And they add about 250,000 new images every week. I always like to look and see at the bottom. They show you 40,569,556 images on there right now. And they added 274,000 this week. Most of those images are from professional photographers and artists. They review each image individually for content and quality. And so you're always going to find great images here at Shutterstock. But what good would it be to have all those images, 40 million images, if you didn't have a great search? The Shutterstock search blows me away. So you can narrow it down as you choose between photos, vectors, illustrations, footage, and even music. Let's see. What should I enter today? You can put in, you know, you could put in nouns like tree, and you'll get a lot of pictures of trees, as you might imagine. But then you can narrow it down. You could say, you can add emotions. I want a happy tree. I don't know of any other site that'll let you find happy trees. Look, these are trees. A tree that's actually smiling. People happy people under a tree. Well, then you can get even more granular if you want. Refine your search even more. You can say what orientation, horizontal or vertical, what category. You can exclude keywords. You can choose a contributor that you like. You could say only images with people. So let's say tree images that have people. In fact, let's say tree images with both men and women, children, boys and girls, any ethnicity. You could narrow it down by ethnicity, by how many people. I want to have two people, two children, and a tree that's happy. Oh, and I can even use their color wheel to say what color, the predominant color of the image should be. Do you think I've narrowed it down too much? Nope. Here's trees with kids. Wow, there's that image I was looking for. Now, when you buy an image, I want to remind you to use our offer code Windows 814. You'll get 20% off. 20% off when you use offer code Windows 814. I love this. Two kids sitting in a tree. Now, what's great, this is for bloggers, for anybody who's you know, creating content for the web. You're always looking for inspiration. In fact, I was just thinking, there was a blog post I just read. Apple and ARM sitting in a tree. I think, here we go. I've got the image for that blog post. That's what's so great about Shutterstock. Sophisticated search tools. If you haven't got a Shutterstock account, create one. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't need to give them a credit card. And when you create an account, you'll have an advantage because you can save images to the Lightbox. This is a nice feature that Shutterstock has. Save it to a Lightbox, and you can then share it with clients, colleagues, friends. Save it for later use. Multilingual customer service. They're in a dozen countries worldwide, and full-time customer support throughout the week means Shutterstock's great for everyone. And the iPad app, if you haven't seen it, is spectacular. Webby award-winning. They have it on Android now, too. Shutterstock.com. Try it today. Sign up for your free account. No credit card needed. Just start an account. Begin using Shutterstock for inspiration, for fun. Once you decide to purchase an image, use the offer code Windows 814, and new accounts will get 20% off any image file. They also have subscriptions and image packages. Shutterstock.com. When you buy an image, use the offer code I should put it up here so you can see it. Windows 8.14 for August 2014. Daniel Rubino is here. Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Microsoft Windows. We've been talking a lot about Windows Phone. Update 1's been out now for a couple of weeks. More and more people are getting it. We're learning more and more about it. What else is in Windows Phone that we haven't talked about? 8.1.
Yeah, this was kind of a crazy one that I had heard rumor about, and then I found out it was true. So one of the things that Microsoft is introducing with Windows Phone 8.1 update is the ability for OEMs to take that and put it on devices up to 7 inches and also on devices that don't have a phone in them.
Oh, interesting.
So, right. And so up until now, it was not legal and really not technically feasible to put Windows Phone OS on a tablet. But as of this release, it is. And I'm going to be super curious if any of their OEMs do this.
You know why this is interesting? This backs up the contention you and Paul have been making for months now that RT is essentially going to be replaced by Windows Phone.
Right.
Pretty much. I mean, I shouldn't say they claim anything because they haven't talked about what they're going to do with Threshold. But from what we've heard and what our sources have claimed, we hear they're going to somehow munge together Windows RT and the Windows Phone OS and make this thing that will run on both. But I have a feeling, and I've always thought, it would be more Windows Phone than it would be Windows RT, although I can't prove that.
How do we feel about that? I think that's good. I like Windows Phone. You can't run Office on it, though, right? Was that the big deal about Windows RT? Can you?
I've heard things about a new Office coming to Windows Phone.
Will Gemini be Windows Phone compatible?
I think it's related to the touch apps. Yeah, me too. Mary Jo, you probably know more.
Yeah, I was going to say, what I've heard so far is they're building this thing we've called Gemini, which are the touch-first apps for Windows. So there's going to be Word, Excel, PowerPoint, a new version of OneNote, and probably Outlook as well.
And that would be Surface, compatible.
Yeah, right. So that would work on ARM, anything based on ARM, including phone, because of the way things are going with universal apps. So that they would take this core that they've built and make the new apps for Windows Phone basically the same app as is running on the ARM chip on tablets.
Do you think that's why Gemini is late?
No.
No.
For all sorts of reasons. Why?
No. Thanks for poo-pooing. No.
I think it's more a case of, the Office team, even though it's a pretty big team, they had to pick priorities. Yeah. And I think because of the new cross-platform missive at Microsoft, they are putting more of those people on Android right now, which sounds crazy when you think it's Microsoft, but they're going to try to get Office on Android tablets done before they get Gemini on Windows tablets done.
Okay.
I was going to say, that's always a tough thing for people to understand. Because you look at Microsoft, you just look at like money bags, right? They have 100,000 employees. But everything does get prioritized, and it's odd to hear, but they do have to go through and say, we're going to do this first and then do this. And yeah, unfortunately, some of Microsoft's own product lines take sort of a back seat to that, and that annoys people, but it's just the realities of software development. You know, we see it on Windows Phone itself, where for the longest time, people wanted them to redo the podcast app. Yes. And they finally did with 8.1. And then it was always on the roadmap, but it was just they had other things they needed to do first. And so that's just sort of the reality. But with this Windows Phone and the Office stuff, it's interesting because it's going back once again to this idea of taking stuff out of the core OS and making it an updatable app that can be dynamically changed, because right now you can't, as far as I know, you can't update Office on the phone unless you do the whole operating system. But like Xbox Music and Xbox Video, podcasts, all the other stuff, they're pulling it out of the OS so they can work on it dynamically.
Yeah, and I'm sure they have to wait or have decided to wait for Threshold for Gemini too, because what's the point of coming out with the touch-first apps running on the current operating system if you're going to change the entire operating system next spring?
Well, yeah. Doesn't make sense. I mean, really? You would hold up Office for an operating system?
Yeah, because a lot of people, when they, especially corporations, when they do deployments, they want to deploy both at the same time. So they want to have like Windows 9 and Gemini. If they can just touch the machines once, it would be better.
Yeah. Does this mean the end of the line for RT? Can we call it?
You choked me on that one.
We can call it.
I like RT, but obviously consumers have sort of spoken on it. Yeah. So I think conceptually it was not a bad idea, but the naming scheme was not executed well. And of course that, you know, everybody mentions this, right? If the RT tablets didn't even have desktop access, it would have been a lot clearer of a message. But I think if Microsoft can reduce their operating systems from Windows 8 and just have Windows Phone version that can basically run on tablets, just have those two, I think that makes it's a lot easier message to send to users.
Yeah. And I think you know, the question I have foremost in my mind is what happens to people who are running Windows RT right now when Threshold comes out? Because, you know, you'd assume there's going to be a way to upgrade. But if it's a different operating system, I don't know how that
would work. Yeah, if you do that, sure. Yeah, that's not an update now. Now you're talking about flashing and getting into the BIOS. That's certainly a lot trickier.
What about developers who wrote for RT? What happens to them?
Yeah, that's the other question too, right? I mean, Microsoft's been kind of taking a gradual process for developers where they've been taking them in baby steps, basically, towards this idea of one Windows and universal apps. So I hope they've thought this through and there's some way that they can move apps over and move people over from an OS perspective. I mean, my assumption is you're going to be able to do it. I just don't know technically how you would do it.
Yeah. Threshold's going to be really, really interesting. I'm real curious to see how that all comes together, because there's rumors that, you know, you'll be able to. Well, I mean, their goal, right? They want to have developers write an app for Xbox, Windows PC, tablets, and phones, and then they handle all the slight changes for different screens on their end after the developer submits the app. You know, and that is their goal. And, like, you know, it's just weird because I was thinking about this the other day. I think it was, Mary Jo, you might know, it was 2010 where three screens in a cloud, Ballmer, you know, said that. Mm-hmm. And here we are. It's like, I mean, it looks like it's finally coming there, but I don't think any of us said it would be like 5 years. But then again, it's such a huge project that who knows, you know, all the details of how things have changed.
Right.
It's interesting that, I mean, people credit Satya Nadella with this, but really, it started with Ballmer back 5 years ago.
It did. Yeah.
And was there a break, or did they just that's how long it took?
Right. I mean, I think as things changed and priorities changed and ideas changed of how this would be achieved, that they've kind of had to do some resetting. A couple of people on Twitter are pointing out something that we should say, which is Windows RT is not WinRT, right? And so universal apps are what are WinRT.
Thank you, Microsoft, for making that clear as mud.
Just to keep that really clear. So, you know,
there's
the
Windows RT, which is runtime, and there's Windows RT, which means it doesn't have any meaning.
Which kind of still means runtime, but
it's insanity.
That was a crazy naming thing. But, so when people write to the WinRT framework like you're doing now, that framework is going to continue. So maybe that's good enough as far as how things will carry over to the new operating system.
Yeah.
I don't know enough technically to say that automatically will solve everything or won't. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff gets real confusing fast. Especially with the stores merging, you know. I would like to see the Windows Phone stuff on, you know, up to 7-inch devices. I think that's a market there for really affordable tablets. The question is price. You know, the idea of like a Surface RT is actually not bad. Consumers have spoken. They're okay technically with tablets that are limited to tablet things. But you have to have the price right. and you have to have the message clear. And with RT, like I said, that, you know, that problem is that you go into that desktop, you're like, oh, I've got actual Windows on this, and then you can't install stuff. And explain to people x86 and ARM, it's just, even I get confused on that stuff. So I'm not sure how a consumer is supposed to do it. But yeah, and the price of the RT was just, for Surface, was just a little bit high, you know, for what it could do. And so, and I say that as someone who, I have a Surface 2 with LTE. I absolutely adore it. I think it's an amazing device, but it's not something that they had a clear message on, and they really need to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, we, just from the few leaks we've had so far about Threshold, a lot of things are going to change. And hopefully the things we haven't gotten leaks about, which are things like naming and pricing and positioning, hopefully those are going to change too, to make things a lot clearer for people buying new machines.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Threshold. Have we learned more and new and wonderful things?
There was a new rumor this week that was kind of interesting about Threshold. Neo Nguyen had a story saying that Microsoft is looking increasingly likely to include Cortana as an integrated piece of Windows Threshold, which would be pretty interesting if they end up doing this, because there have been rumors for a while that Microsoft's ultimate plan was to integrate Cortana not just on Windows Phone, but also on Windows and Xbox. Right into the operating system, right? So Neo Nguyen says there are internal test builds right now at Microsoft that have Cortana integrated into Windows Threshold. So, you know, this is another thing that Steve Ballmer talked about. I remember back in 2011, he was saying, how cool would it be if you could say to your Windows PC, print my boarding pass for Southwest, and it would know what that meant. So that we're starting to get there if this does come to pass. I mean, it'll probably be very rudimentary at the beginning, what you can say to Cortana on Windows and what it can know how to do, but it'll be definitely a start towards them taking advantage of the machine learning and the Bing capabilities that are built into the OS and harnessing them so that you could ask Cortana to do things on your PC just like you can now on Windows Phone.
It'd be pretty cool. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Marcus Ash, who leads the Cortana team there for Windows Phone, has, you know, spoken about this, because Cortana is only as good as the data it collects. And so the more it sees, you know, everything's linked to your Microsoft account. And so the more data it can collect on what you're doing, and I don't mean spying per se, but apps you're running, your interests, and all those kind of things, the smarter it can get. And so they stand to gain a lot by putting Cortana everywhere, because it's going to be much more powerful. This is the reason why they're doing India and China right now as a, you know, the alpha programs there for rolling it out, the early access stuff. You know, the more data they collect on how people are talking to it and using it, the more they can refine it. So, and I think it's just obvious that that Cortana is too powerful to limit to the phone. You know, you look at Kinect and Xbox, it's like designed basically for some sort of voice assistant. It already does the passive listening. So why not, you know, do that the extra step? But
do you think users are scared of passive listening?
I don't know.
It's
an odd technology. Yeah. Sure. It's almost one of those things where the term passive listening, I don't think is like in the nomenclature of like regular people yet. I don't think they know what that means, you know.
But I think when you say to somebody, oh, by the way, Kinect is always listening for your commands, that scares them. I mean, I don't think it should. I don't think it's sending everything you're saying back to Microsoft. It's processing it locally. But I think, I mean, I hear from people who are scared by it. And I just wonder if that becomes generally available in Windows 8, if that's not going to make people nervous. I mean, certainly Google is doing the same thing with Chrome. It's always listening now, and my phone's always listening. But it, when they had Aaron Paul, Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad in their Xbox One ad saying Xbox turn on, people said, or I mean, I think actually he said turn off. Was it turn off or turn on? Anyway, people said it's responding to Jesse Pinkman. And that bothered them.
It's they have to walk a fine line. You know, it's the same thing with Xbox One development, right? You know, everybody wants them to open it up to developers to make apps for. And I agree, but with the Kinect system, they have to be very careful that the APIs and everything written is such a way that people can't hack it. I mean, all it needs is one story of someone releasing malware that will go out and take advantage of your Kinect. And, you know, they're done, right? That's going to be, like, all over the place. And so they have to be careful about how that technology is used.
Yeah.
And, you know, the funny thing, of course, is, you know, if you're worried about government spying, they could do it now without passive listening, right? So it doesn't necessarily
just turn on
make
the
that,
mic, is what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So they already can do that stuff. So, but yeah, there's...
Some would say Microsoft did the first hack with Jesse Pinkman saying, launch Titanfall.
Right, right.
TV turns off, Titanfall launches. Hey, I was watching that.
Yeah, this is always a trade-off, though, between technology. Same thing with biometrics, right? We won't want the idea of a computer just, you know, scanning your face and recognizing you. We hate typing in passwords, you know, fingerprints on iOS, you know. All that stuff is convenient, but there's that trade-off with security. And so how do you... get around that stuff.
I guess my thinking on it is, I think about Google Now is the, for me, the poster boy for this, the poster child. Google Now works because Google has been collecting information about you for so long, goes through your email, looks for boarding passes and all sorts of stuff. And yet it's so valuable. I think people who experience the value of Google Now don't really worry about it as much as people who just hear about it abstractly. And so there's a in my opinion, if the technology is useful and works, people are going to accept it much more than if it's just a proof of concept. Right now, voice commands aren't that useful in any context. On the phone, on my Xbox, I use Xbox Pause all the time.
Oh yeah,
to get up to pee, and then I get back down and get Xbox Play. But it's not so useful that you go, well, I can live with whatever potential risk there is. It has to be really useful before people are going to have that feeling. Otherwise, they're going to say, no, I don't want it because what do I get? I get nothing. So why take that risk?
Yeah, I totally agree. You have to have it. You have to see it in action and see how it benefits you. Like recently on my phone, I had. I signed up to take a trip somewhere and I got my airline ticket sent to me. And then suddenly Cortana said, do you want me to track the flight you're taking to Toronto? And at first you're kind of like, wait, how did she know that? You know, like I didn't tell her that. And then you're like, well, this is actually helpful. I want her to track that.
Right.
Now I'm saying her.
Okay, yeah, her. No, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Microsoft's point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah, they refer to as her. Yeah.
I know, I've been saying it, but now I guess
she's got a female voice.
She does.
But wait a minute now. And now they have Cortana in China and Britain. It's not. I think it's not a female voice in some countries, right? I think it's...
I don't know what the gender of the voice is in China. Yeah. That's a good question.
Is it
sure.
In
the UK
too?
It is. Yeah,
it's a female
UK
in the UK?
Is female. Yeah.
Okay, Siri's a man. I think Siri's a man in the UK for some reason. I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it should be a woman. Do you agree, Mary Jo? I mean, maybe that's just because I'm a guy.
Yeah, I never really thought about it. I guess I trust women to keep track of details more than I trust guys.
See? They the heads up systems on jet fighters, I've always been told, this may be a urban legend. You know, the one that says, for instance, if you're in a stall, pull up, pull up, pull up, has always been a female voice. And the Air Force says that's because men tend to listen to female voices better than male voices. But then that's all the pilots are men. The question is, does it work for women as well?
Yeah.
So apparently it does.
Well, all these questions with how you do that stuff is, you know, the Cortana team is dealing with right now. And it's one of those things we take for granted. But, you know, back in the day before I did all this stuff, I was doing a PhD in linguistics. And so all I did was language.
You know about this stuff.
Yeah, and so we used to do research on gisting and how people summarize
what's
information.
What's it called? Gisting? Like the gist of the matter?
Right, right. And it was actually done for NSA and FBI. This was post 9/11. It's part of their language lab that they have now. And so, like, looking at the stuff in cultural references and how things are perceived is a it's a very nuanced topic. I find it, I've always found it fascinating. Like in Korea, they have honorifics and how they respond to, you know, and things that we don't even have in English. So right. The Cortana team right now is having to face this. Like one example they did was calling it, you know, a British accent. You know, as Americans, that's how we say it. You know, like, oh, it's got a British accent. But if you're
Britain,
in the UK,
it doesn't have an accent at all.
Right. There's no such thing as a British accent. You know, and so even the way, and to us, it's funny, but when someone in the UK hears that, they almost get offended. They're like, what are you talking about?
There's no accent. We don't have an accent. What are you talking about? You have an accent. We don't have an accent.
Well, they say because, you know, Ireland, Scotland, and even in the, you know, England proper has so many dialects.
Those Scots have an accent for sure. They have an accent.
And so even how you talk about this stuff is, you have to be very... I don't want to say PC, but it's borderline.
No. You have to not be, you know, central, Eurocentric or American centric. You have to be, you have to realize that people don't all think the same way. That's not PC. That's getting out of your box. It's not getting into a box. Yeah. It's getting out of your box.
Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't it, Mary Jo, with, in China, right? The Cortana itself is not. You have the option of it being the circular orb that we're familiar with, but they also have another version.
They give it eyes. They give it eyes.
Yeah, with the eyes, because culturally they like to talk to things with eyes. Yeah. Actually, all humans do, but apparently in the U.S. we're a little bit
I can only imagine the difficulty of making a Chinese version of Cortana. I mean, obviously it has to be done by Chinese people, by native speakers who are very familiar with the culture. Because otherwise you have all sorts of cultural biases that are completely unknown. Like things like saying, oh, that's a British accent. That's a cultural bias.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, they don't speak accent with accent in speech any more than we do.
Right.
I love it. I didn't realize that. Did you study semiotics or linguistics or?
It was linguistics, theoretical syntax, and neurobrain stuff.
I love semiotics and I'm fascinated by linguistics since I was a kid. Yeah. Just really interesting stuff.
Just no money in it. Although I guess in hindsight now, I probably could have worked for... If I went to machine learning, I could have been working with the Cortana people.
That's the key.
Yeah, that's right.
Machine learning. Yep. And I agree, it's a fascinating subject because we're in a brave new world and you have to understand and solve problems that never existed before. Things like people's concerns about having always-on microphones, for one. Mm-hmm. So I like that as being part of the operating system. We know that Apple's going to do the same thing with Yosemite, the next version of OS X. So this seems to be the predominant direction. And most phones now are listening at least a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, if you believe in the whole one Windows vision, they've got to make these operating systems more common, right? So things that you see in phones should be in Windows and they should be in Xbox and vice versa. So it makes a lot of sense that they're going that way.
Yeah, if you get used to talking to your phone, you're going to expect to talk to your desktop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe.
Don't we know the difference? I think we know the difference.
I don't know. Look at touch, right? Like Microsoft betting on touch being everywhere. Right. And it all started from the phone, right? They said, hey, everybody's touching phones. Now everybody wants to touch everything. So why not make it part of your laptops and
your
desktops?
But in fact, that was a flop.
I wouldn't say it was a flop. I would say they might have been too early.
Right. Yeah, I think that's my take on Windows 8 in general, that nothing was necessarily wrong with 8. It was just too forward thinking and it was too radical of a change for people. Yeah. And that's an interesting problem to have because now it looks like when they're going back and trying to, you know, ease people back in, it looks like they're undoing what they did. But they're not really. They're just saying, all right, we went too forward. I like touch on a laptop. You know, I think if you use tablets, it makes sense. I think they still need to solve the fingerprint issue because that does get very annoying after a while when you look at your screen. My computer I'm using right now is a 27-inch Dell all-in-one, and it's a giant touchscreen.
Yeah, nice. And yeah, giant fingerprint magnet.
Yeah, and I rarely use it as a touchscreen.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to be able to reach out and like still do that.
I think maybe we should question the conventional wisdom that people want the same features across the board. I think maybe people do know the difference between a desktop and a mobile device, in that they don't necessarily want touch on a desktop OS. Mm-hmm.
I think it depends where you use it too, right? Like if you have a big PC, like a 21-inch screen in your family room.
You're reaching out.
No, in your family room and you're pointing to something and you want to enlarge it and show them, hey, here's a map, right? And you're using it almost like a demo thing for a group. I can see that. But me sitting here with my big screen, no.
Yeah, Lenovo has a crazy, stupid, weird surface table-like thing. We've had it, and it's got dice you can throw on it and stuff. Stupid. I keep trying it. It doesn't work. You know what? One thing is also probably the case. There are a lot of work put into scenarios where you're using computers in a group situation. People use computers by themselves.
Right.
It's a solo activity.
Sure.
I don't find myself a lot of times going, oh, hey, look at my screen. Look at that.
Yeah.
I think it might
unless
be a
unless you're in a meeting.
That's the one exception is PowerPoint presentations, sure. But even then, you're looking at that and you're putting it up on a big screen and you're controlling it.
It's a changing landscape.
Right.
It is. And that, you know, when we were just talking about 7-inch tablets, right? This is where the lines really start to blur, right? So should you have touch?
Well, touch
on a
is
7-inch
touch
tablet, right?
Tablets have to have touch.
But you know, then you've got Surface. Surface is kind of a hybrid device, which has a keyboard and is it a tablet? Microsoft says it's a tablet, but is it a PC?
The jury's still out. Microsoft may be going against going upstream on this kind of hybrid thing. I think that if there is a problem with Windows 8, it's this attempt to hybridize and to mush together tablet and desktop. I don't think they're the same thing. And I think users don't want them mushed together. So that hurts the Surface. Because
some want it, I think.
It's neither fish nor fowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I have the Surface Pro 3, and I also have a Dell 15-inch. And it's a ridiculous laptop. It has a Core i7, 16 gigs of RAM, and it's, you know, NVIDIA. It's just got everything under the hood. So the notion that my Surface Pro 3 can compete with that, of course, is, you know, kind of silly. Having said that, I find the Surface Pro 3 immensely useful. It's so light and thin that I throw it into my day bag. And wherever, if I'm just going out for today visiting friends, I just throw it with me and I take it because it's so light and it can do what I need to do. If I need to do a story quickly or any sort of work, I can do that right away. Now, the question is, you know, basically what I'm saying is the device is more of an in-between device for people who can sort of afford it. And that's not necessarily a great market, but that's how tablets were for a long time too. You know, people couldn't afford a $500 iPad and, you know, it seemed like a luxury item. But what technology always starts off as a luxury item and then it works its way down. And so the Surface Pro 3 is hard to justify to someone who has a great laptop and then like a nice 8-inch tablet. It's like, oh, now go buy this, you know, $1,300 device. But I almost guarantee if you have this device, you would find a use for it because it's still 1.8 pounds and it's so powerful and it's a great device. It's just not necessarily everything for everybody. And you do get that little bit of a compromise. So it's, I think as prices come down and if people need to diversify their, you know, what devices they have, it'll catch on.
Daniel Rubino filling in for Paul Thurrott on this edition of Windows Weekly from WPCentral.com. Mary Jo Foley is also here. We're going to take a break. Come back with lots more. Stay tuned. But first, a word from our friends at ShareFile. Citrix ShareFile is the way in business to share files. I guess it's well named. I use it all the time. I'll be using it today to send ads to the various radio stations for my radio show over the weekend. I use it every single week. I've tried all sorts of ways of sending these files. And maybe you have too in business. A lot of business emails have attachments, whether it's a PowerPoint presentation, a document, like a, you know, a contract, a PDF. Number one, we always say don't send attachments, don't open attachments. That's a really big no-no in security terms. Even if it's from somebody you know, that's how a lot of viruses are spread, frankly. There's also the issue of those attachments going through the public internet. It's like sending a postcard. And there are many businesses like, the medical industry, financial services, where you're not allowed to do that. It's illegal. And wouldn't you like to keep control of those files as well? This is all something that Citrix ShareFile offers you. It's the easy-to-use business solution for sending, receiving, and sharing files. And you're not sending a file as an attachment. You're sending a secure link. It's easy to use for the other end. They don't have to sign up or log in or anything. They just click a button, download it, and it's done. And I found when for the kinds of files I'm sharing to a variety of different kinds of users, ShareFile has been the best solution, and I've tried them all. Here's my ShareFile. Now, you'll note, by the way, that when you log onto your ShareFile account, it's branded. That's the same thing the other people on the other end see. So they don't see ShareFile. They see your company. They see your logo. They know where they're getting it from. It's very easy to share a file. In fact, you can even set up permissions, as I have here, so that anybody who is on my permissions list can see when I've updated a folder. So they know that I don't even have to send out an email. They say, oh, yeah. They can also upload to those folders. It's a really great way of working together with other people when you need to share files with other people. I highly encourage you to try it. If you're in business, a small business, but there's also a button that says request a file. That's really nice, too. I had a lawyer call me and say, I want my clients. I'm a personal injury attorney. I want my clients to send me pictures of the accident. Is there a safe and easy way to do that? ShareFile. You can send them a request. It's easy for them to use. They just drag and drop the file. It's done securely, automatically. I just think it's a great solution. If you're in business and you'd like to try ShareFile, visit ShareFile.com. And you'll see at the top of the page, on the ShareFile page, there's a link that says podcast listeners. If you would, I know it's kind of fine print up here at the top. Click that, podcast listeners. And then use the offer code Windows. That'd be a big favor for us because then Mary Jo and Paul get credit, which is nice. ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage there. Enter Windows as the offer code. You're going to get it 30 days free. And I think if you try this, you'll realize why it's so much better than any other file sharing solution. And a heck of a lot better than doing it by an email attachment. Somebody said I shouldn't show it. It looks like I haven't used it since February. That's not true. Not true at all. I use ShareFile all the time. I will be using it. Oh, this is when it was updated or uploaded, when it was created. The folder was created February 2012. But I upload files all the time to ShareFile.com. I love it. This is really great. They have a little widget that automatically will synchronize it. This is the most recent one I sent. It was July 30th. You just click the link. You say, send this file. You can do it right from the web page if you want. You get a secure link that they just paste in. It's totally awesome. ShareFile.com. From Citrix, try it today. Use the offer code Windows. Mary Jo Foley, Daniel Rubino, we're talking Windows, Windows Phone, a lot of Windows Phone conversation. Daniel's from Windows Phone Central. But let's talk about IE for a moment. Microsoft is going to drop support for what older versions of IE? Mary Jo,
news.
Oh, it is good on. News because some of these older versions of IE are not secure at all.
Right. And so Microsoft announced this week that they're going to be dropping support for many older versions of IE as of 2016, January 12th, 2016. So you still have a wait. This happens.
What's the most what's the number that you could that will be supported and then the rest are through?
So it depends on which operating system you're running. But the one version that goes totally away is IE8, which a lot of people are still using.
It's the last version you could use on XP.
Yep.
And we know that 25% of all Windows users are using XP.
Exactly. Yep. Makes sense. So, yeah, if you're running Vista SP2, you'll be able to run only IE9 or above. Windows 7 SP1, IE11. Windows 8.1, IE11. Windows Server 2012, IE10. So they're still going to be supporting a bunch of different versions, but the idea is let's up-level everybody at least to some agreed-upon point. So that people then will be more current, more secure, and we can do more automatic updating of the browser, knowing that people will be on a certain baseline.
Now, is this like XP where I could keep using it, but they just won't update it, or are they going to somehow break it?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure because I didn't write this up, but I'm thinking it just means they aren't going to support it anymore.
Yeah. So people what they still do have, use it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they do have this feature in IE 11 called IE Enterprise Mode, which lets you fake out your browser, basically, so that if you're running an older version of IE, it thinks it's... I mean, if you're running a site that's dependent or an app that's dependent on IE 8, it can work in IE 11. So that's good for enterprises who've built apps and standardized around IE 8. That kind of gives you an out to move to the latest version. But yeah, this is going to be a big deal. But you have a couple of years to prepare. It's not like they are saying, hey, next patch Tuesday, no more IE 8. It's not like that. You've got till 2016 to get ready for this.
IE 6 is the one you really want to get.
Yeah.
Even right. Microsoft has created pages saying, kill IE 6.
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad for them? They've actually created something so successful
that they can't get out
of it. Yeah. They can't stop people from using it. But it really is. IE 6 is 14 years old now. I mean,
I'm looking up now. So it is. You'll receive no more technical support or security updates for the older versions as of January 12, 2016.
I guess they can't just make it stop working. And even if they could, it probably would be ill-advised.
It would be, yes.
Nukes the computer,
Yeah. And the other thing they're doing around IE that's kind of interesting is they're finally going to block out-of-date ActiveX controls for IE. So this affects Java.
Wait a minute. ActiveX is still around?
Oh, yeah, ActiveX is still around.
Do people...
Yeah. Yep, people use it.
But nobody's writing new ActiveX controls, are they?
I can't say that.
It's one guy.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So they, in this patch Tuesday, which just happened, August 12th, they actually put the feature in that's going to block the out-of-date ActiveX controls, but they're not going to turn it on to start blocking until September 9th, which is the next patch Tuesday. And the reason they have that little delay is if you're an IT pro, you want to make sure everything's up to date and suddenly a bunch of stuff doesn't stop working. So they're giving you at least one more month to make sure you're not using out-of-date ActiveX controls anywhere in your shop before they start getting blocked.
Ed Bott said this is a monumental change. Your colleague Larry Seltzer said, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
ActiveX is a huge security hole.
It is.
Because you're essentially giving a website programming level access to your operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that really needs to be controlled. And this is a start, better than nothing.
It is. Yep. A lot of IT people are very happy that this is happening. And they're like, I can't believe it took this long. Okay.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Now it's funny because Microsoft has almost gone the opposite direction with IE 11, where, you know, at least I'm part of that crowd that really wants plugins for IE 11 because I like using Chrome. But I'll be the first to admit Chrome has its own performance issues, especially what's, you know, on laptops. But Microsoft is pretty adamant about not doing that. And I understand because it is a security issue. And you know, they want to prevent that. So IE11 is considerably locked down, you know, compared to their old stuff.
You know, there are a lot of banks, payroll services, business services that use ActiveX. I always know that's the case when they say, sorry, but you have to be using IE and you can't use IE11. You can't use Chrome. And I always just, it sends a chill down my spine. You know, our payroll service requires older versions of IE, and I know why, because they're using ActiveX. And that means they're insecure, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It bugs the heck out of me. But,
it's changing. Things are changing. It's just, you know, when you've got a billion
legacy
plus users, it's which the number Windows one. Has.
Reason for Windows success and the number one reason for its problems, legacy.
Yep.
It's all about legacy.
Yeah.
And in the absence of Paul Thurrott, Daniel, would you like to be our Xbox One correspondent today?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I actually have two Xbox Ones.
I love my Xbox One.
Yeah,
I
was a little.
I put this in the show notes.
Did you? Thank you, Mary Jo. We thank you. I was a little disappointed because the Destiny beta, which I was having great fun playing, got turned off.
Sure.
So I have to wait till the game actually comes out now.
Yeah.
Back to Titanfall. But I use the Xbox One as a media center.
That's me too.
I love it. I love it. It works really well. So they are doing a Call of Duty bundle, which I thought was kind of interesting, with a terabyte of storage, but no Kinect.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Part of the reason it's so good as a media center is because of the Kinect. And the Kinect works dang well. When Michael comes in and says, hello, Michael, pops up on the screen. The weird thing is Michael's mom, Lisa, says hello, Michael, to her, too. I think they look enough alike. Isn't that weird? It knows me. It knows I'm not Michael. Knows Michael's not me. But sometimes Lisa will come and sit down and says, hello, Michael.
Kinect is an interesting technology. It's once again, I think, a case where Microsoft was ahead of the curve. I mean, we've all seen Minority Report, and every time in the future computers and things are portrayed, it's always with this like holographic screen and there's voice and gestures. And people like want that stuff, but it also has to work well. And like what you're saying before, it has to be tremendously useful. And the Kinect thing is just, I like it. I'm glad I have it, but I'll be the first to admit that I don't think it's paid back what it was supposed to necessarily do. And, you know, you look at that and with that rumored, you know, Microsoft canceling McLaren, their touch 3D phone, I think they're learning some hard lessons sometimes about, you know, bringing things to market that are too early for people to actually make use of. And from what I understand, that was why McLaren was canceled, that it was a cool technology where you use 3D touch on your phone, but as far as actual usefulness, that was left in question. And so they decided to not put it out yet, you know, and maybe down the road as it refines a little bit. But with this Kinect stuff, it's just, you know, I understand why they're, you know, putting it to the side a little bit. It's just, it's become less important to the
Are they going to just... I mean, the price of Kinect was not just developing and shipping Kinect, but that made their console $100 more than PlayStation 4. PlayStation 4 has sold, you know, many... I just saw the number. Many, many, many more units. I think 10 million units. And, I guess it's because of the price differential. So the cost to Microsoft was high.
Right.
Are they killing it?
I wonder.
I'm curious what they're going to do, because Kinect for Windows, they seem to be putting a lot of investment into and really trying to get developers on board and really playing that up. And Kinect for Xbox, I don't know. I haven't heard about any kind of, here's what we're doing next with that. It doesn't mean they're killing it, but there was a tweet that Tom Warren from The Verge caught this week from Phil Spencer, and it kind of made everybody wonder, you know, is he backing away from it now, or like what's up with this? You know,
the tweet was he blamed it on people stealing his phone.
Yeah.
What was the tweet?
It was something like you're the Kinect Slayer, and he supposedly retweeted that.
He retweeted CVG News. Phil Spencer is here. What a man, leader, gaming pioneer, destroyer of mandatory Kinect hashtag hero. He said, no, that just people stole my phone. What? Mm. I don't...
Who knows? Who knows?
I don't think somebody steals your phone and retweets something. That doesn't seem like...
Subtle, nefarious.
Yeah, that's very subtle. Oh, watch this. Yeah. I'm going to screw Phil. I'm going to retweet. When Dvorak steals my phone, he makes the whole thing Russian. He changes it to a non-Western alphabet, so I can't figure out how to change it back. That's what you do. Just a little tip when you steal somebody's phone. Really, you want to do some damage. Don't retweet.
Yeah. I don't know. I
think they're de-emphasizing Kinect, at least for now. But I don't see them killing it because the technology is good. And they invested a lot into it. You know, everything.
You'd be nuts to kill it. It's great.
Yeah. I just think they're putting it a little bit more to the side and de-emphasizing it until things get better as far as either development tools or, you know, it becomes this issue about how do you really integrate it into a game and make it convincing.
I mean, there are some work out with my girlfriend, Jillian Michaels, every morning.
Yeah, I was going to say the exercise stuff really is
It actually
good.
Works. I like, it measures your heart rate. I mean, it knows whether you're working or not. It's incredible.
But trying to convince Americans to exercise.
Oh, I just sit on my couch and watch her.
Just a little bit.
My heart rate still goes up. Yeah, it works. So this is the, these are the new the Connectless bundles that'll be out for the holidays. The Sentinel Task Force Call of Duty version with a terabyte of storage. And then there's going to be a white one, right?
Yeah, the white one's pretty cool.
It's pretty. I like that. I might, that looks like a Stormtrooper white.
Right.
With a white controller, too. But and will this
I'm
have
more excited.
Connect?
Oh, I don't think so.
No Connect on that
one. Connect bundled with Sunset Overdrive.
Nope.
That's a fun game.
Is it? I don't know it.
Yeah, I played it at E3.
It was driving games? Pretty... Sounds like driving.
No. It's a, I don't know how you, I'm bad at describing video games. It's like a third person sort of Tomb Raider, but it has, it's in this post-apocalyptic future where some energy drink that people drink turns them into mutants. And so it has a,
when will a video game not be in a post-apocalyptic future?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
what I want to know.
But it has a great sense of humor. The graphics are phenomenal, and it sort of breaks the fourth wall sometimes. It's very much aware that it's its own sort of – it's a video game. It's got a bunch of co-op modes and a bunch of – I think it's going to be – I think it's going to be a bigger hit than Titanfall will be. So we'll have to see.
Titanfall's a little bit of a disappointment, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
This looks fun. I like something with the tongue-in-cheek. I like Watch Dogs. That's a lot of fun. You play that?
I haven't played that, but yeah, I've heard some decent things about it. I actually like the indie games.
Hey, there's selfies in Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, indie games are very interesting. And oh, wait a minute, this is an ad for a soda pop. Oh, that's what they drink.
No.
Oh dear, he's spewing Orange Crush. Was this based on a comic?
No, it's it actually reminds me very much of Borderlands, the same sort of graphic style that they're doing.
I can't wait. This looks great. Mary Jo's going, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Why would you want to play this game? You know what my favorite game was? I loved Abe's Odyssey and all the Oddworld games. They had a sense of humor. This reminds me a little of that.
Yeah, it's got some really great stuff in it. I think it's going to be, I don't know, it's one of the few games I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
They announced a ton of games though this week, right?
Did they for Xbox?
Oh yeah, there was
finally
pile.
Yeah,
I don't think I could play Rise or Assassin's Creed much longer
anymore. Have you tried Guacamelee?
I saw Guacamelee. Really?
It's phenomenal.
Okay,
yes.
I'll try it.
The graphics are great on it.
Guacamelee. Yeah,
it's free too if you're on.
I have Xbox Gold. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I keep seeing the promos. I've resisted it. I did get Crimson Dragon for free because that's nostalgic for me. That was a fun game.
I'm more excited that they're finally getting that robust media player because one of the reasons I still use my 360 is to play video files because I throw them on a thumb drive and then I throw it onto the Xbox. And even on a 360, it was good, but it was limited by file formats and what it could actually play. Now, the one coming to the One is supposed to play everything from MKV files to other more advanced codecs.
Oh, that's
which
good.
Is good. Yeah, I mean, obviously the subtle message here is, yes, you can play your torrented videos.
Piracy's
if you might
okay.
have downloaded it.
It's okay.
So I think that's the reason why they didn't do MKV. I think they're very cautious about wading into that stuff. But
the
Matryoshka
format seems to be only used for pirated video, right? I mean, I've never seen anything legit using MKV.
Right.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
So I can torrent something, put it on a thumb drive, bring it over my Xbox, plug it into the front, and watch it.
And plus, they're going to bring support finally for network drives, which I'm really also excited about. So you don't have to do the thumb drive thing. Just have the Xbox recognize
that's what
your
you
hard
need.
Drive.
Yeah, a Plex-style servers, client-server solution.
Exactly.
Good. Good, good, good. Oh, there's a new
one. They're getting there. You know, everything with the Xbox and PlayStation 2, I think it was, if you ask both companies, they would have been like, please give us another year to get this stuff out. I don't think anyone wants to release it now. But now
hardware always comes first because people have to get it and see it selling and then write games for it and all of that stuff. And then, of course, hardware, when it's incompatible with the previous versions, that's a particular challenge, you know.
Sure.
Sorry, Mary Jo.
Nope, it's all good.
Sorry, Mary Jo.
It's all good.
Sorry, Mary
Jo. I knew
Jo.
We had to do some connect after all the news this week and some Xbox.
That's good. So. This would be a good time if you are in the chat room and you have a question, just precede it with my name, Leo, and I'll see it. And we can get your questions for Daniel Rubino and Mary Jo Foley about Windows Phone, Windows, Hadoop, anything you're interested in. Will Xbox One, Revs ask... RevX asks, support network attached storage over the network. How is that going to work? Yes. And that'll be in the August update, or no, it's coming?
No, I think it's coming. But I think by the end of the year, that's supposed to come.
Yeah. Good, good. We remember the Fortaleza glasses. Geek Umre asks, where is Microsoft's wearable solution?
Good question.
I mean, I don't have any details on that. Mary Jo might, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was axed with everything else.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I think the first wearable will be that rumored Microsoft Fitbit type thing that supposedly is this fall. Ah. That would be my guess.
And aren't they doing watches again?
That might be the watch.
That's the watch. Okay.
It might be. Might not. We don't know. There might be a watch plus that, but that seems to be the new latest rumor as to what the watch is.
You have an icon. Is that where you're using Mary Jo right now?
It is. Yep.
Kid Clayton says, should I get the icon on Verizon or should I get this next Verizon phone that they might announce next week? I would get the M8 if you can. Right?
I would wait and see.
Wait and see.
So that you can compare.
I'll tell you one of the biggest differences, because I have the M8 with Android on it, is this 4-megapixel camera.
Yeah.
You know, the icon has a better camera. Difference. Yeah, I think the icon's going to have a better camera.
Oh,
yeah,
Icon has a great camera.
Yeah.
It really depends what your priorities are. If, like, you do a lot of photos, I know the Icon will still be better. That's not to say the M8 won't do...
I get great images. I get great images on my M8, but...
I think the M8 is good enough, and I don't mean that as a slight either. I mean, I think for most people who care about taking images, I think the M8 would be fine. But if you want the best, you're going to want an Icon. And same thing with if you do video, right? Video recording... on the Icon is going to be way better, especially got the optical image stabilization. And once it gets cyan, you can do the Dolby Digital audio recording. And so for recording and making content, I would say the Icon is better. But for if you consume content, the M8 might be better, because the M8, you're going to get 32 gigs of storage, microSD expansion, which is pretty huge. You also get that boom sound.
I think the sound is better on the M8 than anything that's out there right now. It's just spectacular.
Plus, I mean, I would think the M8's going to be thinner. The Icon, it's not huge, but it's hefty.
It's square. Yeah, it's a very square, blocky device. And because of that, I don't think it feels as ergonomic as the M8 does, which has, I wish Nokia didn't get rid of the curved feeling of, like, say, the 920. Mm-hmm. And so the M8 has that. So when you hold it in your hand, although the M8 can be slippery too. But I will say the M8 is kind of heavy. So Mary Jo,
it's heavy and it's kind of long because of those side speakers.
It is.
And it's still that stupid power button on top, which...
Oh, they do?
Well, you get used to that. You get used to
it. Yeah, but...
I agree.
You have small hands.
It's just the wrong spot. I have a problem with the standard placement of the Windows Phone power button as it is on the 1520, because I'm a lefty. So I hold the phone and my middle finger is always hitting the power button because of where it is.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if there's a right answer for power button positioning.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, Chemilinsky wants to know, are you happy about the Microsoft store that is rumored to be coming to Fifth Avenue, Mary Jo Foley?
Yes. Oh, man. I hope this is true.
Wouldn't that be
so awesome? It would be right near. I could walk to it from my house if it's where they're saying.
It's just a couple of blocks. The rumor is from the Apple Fifth Avenue, the iconic Apple Fifth Avenue store. And I think that makes sense.
It does.
That's all.
Stand up.
Yeah, they want a good spot for their first flagship store in Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
Which is why it's taken so long. Real estate in Manhattan is not something easy to come by, especially in the prime areas. You basically have to wait for some borderline famous place to go under and snatch it up. So I assume that they would just been waiting for that right location, And yeah, because every Microsoft store right now is next to an Apple store. Even up here, I moved up to Massachusetts, in Natick. There's the Apple store, there's a store in between, and then it's a Microsoft
Isn't that
store.
Funny?
It's great. Yeah.
Our local mall, it's right across the hall. You know, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, you look left, you'll see the Microsoft store. Look right, see the Apple store.
And I love the Microsoft stores. I go to them all the time.
They look so similar.
Service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any more UI leaks on Threshold, asks Web8721.
Here's what we know. Mini start menu, the windowed apps, the windowed Metro style apps on the desktop, the virtual desktops, and probable elimination of the charms panel.
Yeah.
Those are all what we know, plus the Cortana. Those are the main leaks that we've heard so far. Right.
Are you having battery life issues with your icon, Mary Jo? A couple
nope.
people are asking about that. No.
I am not. I get pretty good battery life with my icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a problem, a hardware problem with your phone, my friend.
Although Twitter does really eat battery on these phones.
I think all social media has to be turned off. You know, have it be pull, not push. Because if it's going out and checking, Facebook's a killer too, where it just goes out and checks the news feed all the time. Mm-hmm. You won't have any phone left.
Yeah.
Canice wants to know if the Lumia 620 will get to use equalizer over speakers and get the updated display slider with Cyan.
Probably not for the equalizer. So this is a fascinating thing that I've had a lot of complaints on. So the higher end Lumias get a graphic equalizer, which is good for the speaker and for headphones. It doesn't work over Bluetooth. And with Cyan, it actually enables it over the speaker. Previously, the equalizer only worked if you plugged in headphones to it. Now it works just through the normal phone speaker, which also sort of begs the question about actually how good that really is, since it's still a mono phone speaker. But it's an interesting thing. But what I always hear is like people with a Lumia 520 are complaining that they don't have a graphic equalizer. And so... yeah, at least with the 620, I don't remember actually if the 620 has a graphic equalizer. If it does and it gets Cyan, which it will, then yeah, it'll get it over the speaker.
Couple more here. Mike Halsey says, hi, Mary Jo. And
Hi, Mike.
Says also for the games coming up this fall, he likes Elite Dangerous. He says, don't overlook that. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, neither do I.
Tucson Food Guy asks if the Xbox One will support the Xbox 360 Kinect if you buy the Kinectless Xbox One. And I think the answer to that one's no.
No.
I don't believe it will. let's see. A lot of silly ones here. I'm going to get some serious ones. What, you know, do you... There was speculation that Threshold would be free. Is that insane?
It's still active speculation, and I just have been asking around about that this week, and it's still definitely active speculation that it might be.
Isn't the business of Microsoft selling software still kind of?
Kind of, but you know what? These days, I think they're looking at it more that we're going to make more money in the long run if we can get people on our cloud services and our app software, like, you know, OneNote, Office 365, Skype, OneDrive. Those are kind of the things they're more interested in potentially earning money from at some point. And I think they're looking at an OS as kind of like, yeah, it would be great to be able to have the old days where we could really charge people like over $100 a copy to preload it on their hardware, but we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balmer's Ghost asks, what's going on with Midori?
Oh, man. Guess what? I've been asking around about this, too. So Midori is this operating system that...
wow. Daniel, somebody's breaking into your car. Go ahead, Mary Jo.
Midori is the operating system that an incubation team has been building inside of Microsoft for a number of years that's built on a microkernel. It's not Windows. It's not Windows-based at all. And I asked around fairly recently about this, and that project is still continuing. It's not dead. It hasn't been killed. And there's still a group of people building Midori, and we don't know really when that's going to come out commercially, if ever, or what they're going to use that for. We still don't know.
There's one for Daniel. Will there be on the Windows Phone version of the HTC One, will they put Blink Feed on it? That's something that's on the Android version.
It's a safe assumption.
I don't know why anybody would want it, but okay. Some people really
what
like
is it.
It's like Flipboard, but it's part of their launcher on Android, so it's kind of integrated in. Actually, speaking of that, what about Flipboard on the Windows Phone?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea where that is, right? Yeah. It's a good question. I'll have to dig around.
Don't know. That's okay. You don't have to know. Web 9868 says, my workplace is moving from BlackBerry to Windows Phone over the next 2 years. Do you guys know if Outlook... Uh-oh, and it scrolled up while I was reading it. Darn it. Whoop. Outlook Notes, I think... is fully functional, including editing on the Exchange Mail app. That's a pretty specific one. Mm. Don't know?
Don't know.
No idea. Yeah, are they going to... Mars Worm and others want to know if they're ever going to sell the Xbox One Kinect separately, so you could buy this Xbox One without it, but later upgrade it. Presumably they're going to do that, right, Daniel? I mean...
I don't see why they wouldn't, but it's probably an issue right now of... it's probably not a huge market for that at this point. Yeah. They're trying to de-emphasize the Kinect, so I don't think it's something that a lot of people are going to want right away. But imagine at some point when they come back to Kinect and want to push it again, that will become more relevant. Obviously, I don't want to say trivial thing for them to do, but obviously it's not too hard either.
I presume it's too early to know, but will Windows Media Center be included in Threshold? It wasn't included in 8, right? But you could download it later.
I'd be surprised.
It'd be shocking if they put it back in.
It would.
Look, you got a menu button. Let's not push it, okay?
Yeah.
But they may continue to offer it as a download.
Maybe. Yeah, I haven't heard anything on that.
I think Microsoft wants to stop that. And will do so as soon as they can. All right, we are going to take a break. Come back with the back of the book. Tips, tricks, tools, beer, all of the above. Yes, Daniel didn't know. This is a show all about beer.
Yep.
Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. This solves a problem to anybody who's, either looking for a job or looking for talent to fill a position at their company faces. There are more than one. There's more than 50 different job boards out there. And which one do you use to get the best candidates for that position you'd like to fill? Well, ZipRecruiter really solves this. You could post with one submission to all of them, almost more than 50 job boards, plus a lot of the social media, too, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Google, automatically. Post once, distribute everywhere. And then, of course, ZipRecruiter does a great job of managing those resumes as they roll in and making it easier for you to screen them, rate them, and hire the right person fast. They've got a mobile platform, so mobile job seekers can respond quickly. You can view and share formatted resumes with colleagues. Makes it easier to find the superstars. Screen the candidates the easy way with real-world questions. Multiple choice, yes or no, free form, your choice. Customize your branding so it looks like your company's job pages. You can even create an instant job page on your site. ZipRecruiter is a great solution. If you're hiring, you absolutely need to check it out. And we've made it easy. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows, you can try it free for 4 days. Get an idea of exactly what ZipRecruiter can do for you. Of course, they have 100% satisfaction guarantee and premium support from real people. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. A quarter of a million businesses use ZipRecruiter, including us. We've been very happy. Don't worry about juggling emails and calls to your office. If you're an overtaxed HR person, and who isn't, you can do this so much faster with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Try it free right now. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Paul Theron has the week off. He's traipsing around Spain. Lucky guy. But we're lucky, too, because Daniel Rubino from Windows Phone Central is here to take his place, to fill in. But we won't... I guess we could do it. He won't do the tip, but we'll have him do some software. How about that? We'll let Mary Jo.
I actually have a tip if
tip.
You guys want.
Yeah, sure. We'd love that.
Yeah. So this is a tip some people may know, but I think it's worth repeating because I know there are a number of people who don't. There, if you go to MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com, there is a ton of IT training on that site for free. All you have to do is give them your Microsoft ID and sign up in with that. And you can look up courses by products or topics. It ranges from everything like SQL Server, System Center, Dynamics, to how to write universal apps, hybrid cloud, C Sharp, XAML. Everything is on here, and they're always adding new content. I had somebody ask me the other day if we ever talked about it on Windows Weekly, and I said, you know what? It wouldn't be bad to remind people this is out there, and it's free. And there's just like a lot of really great stuff, not just for students, for anybody who wants to learn something new for their career or whatever. It's just right out there, and you can just go in there and download it and check it out.
This is phenomenal. Yeah.
It is, right?
Most of them are video courses, but they do have live events and webinars. Mm-hmm. And, wow, that's great. It's Microsoft VirtualAcademy.com. And it's free.
It's free.
Look, I've just by watching the first few seconds, I've 7% complete on MDUP. Look at that. I'm an MDUP expert. Hey, that's a good tip. Thank you, Mary Jo.
You're welcome.
We're going to let Daniel give us a app of the week.
So the big news for at least today and actually this week, because it's been kind of slow, is Swarm is finally available for Windows Phone, which is...
Good.
Yeah, so this was announced, I believe, back in May. Is coming for iOS and Android, and Windows Phone was going to be on its way, and now it's here. And for those who aren't familiar, Swarm is the new service from Foursquare as they continue their trek of trying to discover how to make money off of the internet. But so Swarm is...
Is Foursquare still available on Windows Phone and was available before?
Yes.
But this is what they did everywhere else. They separated the apps.
Yeah.
Swarm is the check-in part.
Yeah, it's the check-in thing, but it's also meant for meeting up with friends. You can basically see where your friends are and based on mileage, how, you know, who's near you right now, who's far away. And the idea is it's for planning stuff with friends. You can send out messages to each other like, hey, let's go here and do that. So it's definitely trying to, I think, steal stuff away from Facebook with how people plan to do things outside versus just text messaging, as it gives you a, you know, a check-in ability. And they got stickers, and I don't know. The app itself is interesting on Windows Phone. There's still some, you could tell it wasn't finished completely, or some like a little bit, some bugs with it. So, but it's the next, and then Foursquare is going to get a new version later in this fall, so they're going to redo that.
Yeah, just checking. I'm launching my Foursquare because on the other platforms, when you launched Foursquare, it would say, "Oh, by the way, if you want,
right,
it's time to get Swarm." But okay, I'm going to go to the Windows Store. I'm going to get Swarm because I use it actually. I like it.
Okay, yeah, I'm still kind of new to it, but it's a nice looking app at least.
Are you a Yelp user?
I do use Yelp on occasion. That's another interesting example of where technology, I think, is, you know, just all these discovery apps for trying to find places like, you know, City Lens. It's a neat idea, but I end up always kind of going back to Yelp, and I just like the way it's organized.
That's what I find is people either are Foursquare users or Yelp users. And usually there's not a lot of crossover because you don't want to check in twice every time you get somewhere. It's bad enough you can't talk until you check in.
Right.
Now you got it. So I'm not seeing Swarm. Maybe it's a staged rollout then.
Yeah, it's
Windows
so new.
Windows Phone 8.1, right?
I have 8.1, right? Don't I?
But yeah, it'll take a little while for it to populate in the store for the search query. It's literally just a few hours old. So
right. I'll definitely get it.
Yeah.
That's great. So that's our app of the week. We move on with Mary Jo Foley to our enterprise pick of the week.
My enterprise pick of the week is something that Microsoft released in late July, but was kind of under the radar screen. It's called EMET, E-M-E-T 5.0, which stands for the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit.
Oh.
That's a mouthful. And what this thing is a free tool for people who want to better protect themselves against cyber attacks. And Microsoft is always revving this tool, updating the core of it. And this version, the 5.0 version, which you can get from the Microsoft Download Center, adds two new mitigations: attack surface reduction and export address table filtering plus, also known as EAF plus for acronym lovers. So all you do to get this is go to Microsoft Downloads, type in EMET5, and you can download it and start using this to help you better defend against cyber attacks.
Emmett! Help me, Emmett! And you've got a rumor of the week. That's something new. I like that.
Yeah. The rumor of the week is about a product Microsoft is building called Delve, which we've had as a code name of the week before. Delve is like Flipboard for Office 365. It's somewhere that you're, it's an app that it's going to be able to show you everything that's relevant to you and how they interrelate. It's building on a technology Microsoft has called the Office Graph. And the rumor about Delve is that it is currently in private beta and that Microsoft may start more publicly beta testing it through its first release program on Office 365 by mid-September. So Delve is finally getting closer. Microsoft announced it a number of months ago. I always have people ask me, when am I going to be able to use Delve? I haven't heard anything about it. I think you're going to start hearing a lot more about it in mid-September, which makes me wonder if we may also start hearing more about future versions of Office server apps and maybe Office client this fall. I don't think we'll get those this fall, but I think maybe the news pipeline will start opening up a bit about them.
Cool. Delve. Sounds like something dwarves do.
Delve. It was codenamed, codenamed Oslo, then changed to Delve.
Hi-ho. And finally, it's beer time.
It is.
Yes, something from... Do you drink beer, Paul? I mean, Paul. Daniel? Daniel? I know Paul drinks beer.
Yep.
I no, see yeah, that's check right, in on Untappd.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. No, Paul and I are in agreement. We're both... we don't like hoppy beers, which I think is what today's is.
But you're not going to like this one.
No.
No. But when okay. Paul's away, we have to have a double IPA day. That's
hops
my motto.
Sure.
Get it in.
So, yeah. This is a new beer from Bell's Brewing in Michigan, and they make awesome beer. And I just got to have this the other day, and it was great. It's called Kalamazoo Hop Solution. It's a double IPA, about 8%. And Bell's makes a couple other very hoppy beers that are delicious. But this one was really nice, really smooth. I really liked it. I thought it was very well balanced in spite of being very hoppy.
Excellent.
So it's around. You might see it in your stores, your Whole Foods or beer store of choice, or perhaps on tap.
Kalamazoo Hop Solution from Bell's Brewery. I have my work cut out for me tonight. I'm going to go to WPCentral.com and take the step-by-step to get my phone to Cyan. Damn it.
Good luck. It's easy, but just make sure you do a backup, you know.
Well, now I have backup checked, so I don't have to do a separate one, right?
It does backup automatically, but you can actually force it to backup, like, right now.
I should do that so, just in case.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Because it says checked, and it says they're all backed up. So, but anyway.
Yeah. So this will give you the very last one. You want to go to settings,
backup,
and
I think, right? Yeah,
backup. Yeah. Now tap app plus settings.
App plus it's getting so complicated. Apps plus settings. Okay, and then backup and then now. I see.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Some apps won't work during backup. Oh, that's interesting. So that's why it's not always backed up. It has to be when the phone's idle.
Exactly.
Not in use. See, this is why we love having Daniel on. Daniel Rubino, WPCentral.com, @Daniel_Rubino on the Twitter. Real pleasure having you on from your new home in Natick, Massachusetts.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog, where she works constantly to keep us up to date on everything that's going down in Redmond. Thanks to both of you for being here. Paul Thurrott will be back next week from his
all refreshed
walkabout. All refreshed.
Yeah, did you see he was in Morocco?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, remember he wanted to go to Africa so that he could check the continent off? I guess he got his continent.
Yep.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah.
So we do this show on Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1800 UTC at twit.tv or live.twit.tv. That's the easiest way to just go straight to the live view. You can also download it after the fact, on-demand audio and video at twit.tv/WW or on any of the many in various ways, the podcast app on Windows Phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you subscribe, you'll get it every week. You won't miss an episode, and I don't think you want to. Thank you, Paul. I keep calling you Paul. It's a force of habit.
Right.
You know, we've been doing this show for like 8 years.
Sure.
Yeah. It's hard to break that habit. Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.